Well, everybody, welcome to episode 303 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty of Iowa, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we're in the middle of the spring sports season, but we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Centennial basketball tonight. Of course, the Jaguars had to replace a pair of coaching legends when Scott DeYoung and Bob Fontana announced their retirements last month. And last week, Centennial Activities Director Nate Lindgren announced his two coaching hires, and we're going to be talking to both of these gentlemen tonight. Leading off is the new head boys basketball coach. He has been a part of the program for the past 11 years as both the sophomore head coach and varsity assistant, and now he'll be taking over for Coach Fontana. He is Matt Belger. Matt, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me, and I just wanted to say, you know, to start out, you know, thanks for all the, you know, for the service that you do to our community and for all that you do for our kids. So I just want to say thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate that, and congratulations on the new job. I know when I talked to you last week, you were very excited that it's obviously time to get to work. I know one of your first priorities is to assemble a staff. You know, have you made any progress on that front yet?
We are making progress. We're still in the process. Cannot officially announce any, you know, hires yet, but I'm excited. I'm excited about the guys that want to come work with me, and it's going to be a good group.
Good. We certainly have some head coaching experience. You were the boys coach for 3 years at Cal Latimer before you spent 2 years at East Union of Afton, where you also served as the AD. You're also the interim girls coach at Ankeny for a year before joining Coach Fontana's staff. You know, it's been a while, though, since you've been a head coach. You know, is it taking a little time to adjust to being back in that role?
To be honest, no, it's not. I feel like I was ready to, you know, to get going right away. I've been kind of working these last 3 weeks. Since Bob told me that he was resigning, I kind of stepped up and just kind of kept the program moving. So I've been scheduling summer stuff and weight room and, you know, developing relationships with kids and just getting everything, you know, all those logistical things kind of set so that when I did get it, we weren't behind in any way. So, no, I've thought about being a head coach for a long time, and I'm ready, and yeah.
Well, I know you told me last week that it was your goal to become a head coach again, and, you know, I imagine if Coach Fontana had decided to stick around for a few more years, maybe you would have looked around at some other positions, but with him stepping down, it was just kind of a no-brainer for you to pursue the position, wasn't it?
It was. It was a no-brainer because this place is home, you know what I mean? And so that made it really easy. I will say, though, that the Valley game, when Coach was homesick, mm-hmm. and I got to lead and run the show, I remember getting home after that game and telling my wife, like, I need to be head coach. That was so much fun, you know, leading and being the guy, you know, in complete control. And I told her, I said, I think it's time, you know, to start looking. And then this opportunity happened, so.
Well, yeah, this program has obviously enjoyed a lot of success in its history. The Jaguars placed fourth in the Class 4A state tournament in 2020, then went back to state again in 2023. After reaching a sub-state final last year, you guys did have an inexperienced team this season that resulted in an uncharacteristic 5-17 record. You also had to deal with some major injuries. Sophomore Evan Abbott was your leading scorer over the first half of the year, but then he suffered a season-ending injury. Senior Sean Tux ended up being your leading scorer, and he was a third-team all-conference player after transferring in from Des Moines Christian. But even he had to deal with a bad ankle sprain early on that really slowed, you know, him down for quite a while. So it was really just kind of a perfect storm of events that led to the rough season, wasn't it?
It was. There was adversity there, you know, with the injuries and things like that. Our league's loaded and very talented. And, yeah, this last season wasn't probably the record that we would have liked to have, but there's a lot to build on. There really is a lot. We were able to get a lot of time invested into some younger kids that, you know, a lot of programs in our area weren't able to put that much, you know, CIML experience into some of the younger kids. So yeah, we're excited for the future.
Well, yeah, even though you guys have to take some lumps, I'm sure the hope is that there will be a payoff in the end, right?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And you know, that's a part of it. Sometimes you have those years where you are young and you do got to put time into those kids. But yeah, hopefully it pays off in the future.
Let's talk about maybe a couple of the guys. Let's start with Evan. You know, how is his recovery going? Is he back doing any basketball activities yet?
Yeah, he is back. He's you know, these guys, a lot of them are, you know, full bore right now with their club season, and he is as well. You know, they start traveling this weekend, and so yeah, they're playing nonstop basketball. And yeah, he's healthy and he's back to full shape. So.
Well, yeah, he showed in the 11 games that he played where he averaged more than 12 points a game. You know, that he can be a force on the court. You know, assuming he can stay healthy, I mean, he's obviously got a chance to be a big building block for you, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, anytime you can get a sophomore that much experience, and you know, he finished what 12.3 points per game as a sophomore in this league. That's, you know, a great thing that you can build on and build around, for sure.
Well, you got a lot of time between now and next season, but, you know, who are some other guys that you think could maybe take a big leap forward next year if they put in a lot of time?
Well, you know what? I've been very impressed with our seniors that are coming back. I call them seniors, but it's our juniors to be seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, Colby Beshin and Brody Krill have been amazing leaders so far this spring in the weight room and then at open gyms. And so that's stuff you can build around is guys that are making their teammates around them better, and not just on the court but off the court as well. So those guys have really impressed me, and then we've got, you know, a handful of younger guys that I'm very excited about, you know, stepping up as we go forward. So.
Well, you mentioned how tough the CIML, of course, you know, it's tough every year. Valley is a three-time defending state champion, but, you know, they're probably going to be losing all of their key pieces. I do believe that's the case. And I know Coach Windhorst stepped down. I haven't heard it. Has he been replaced yet?
Not yet. And, I've heard rumors, but I haven't heard any names that are, you know, nothing solidified yet.
Well, this conference is so good, and I'm guessing that both Waukee schools will once again be very good. Waukee will have Evan Jacobson back, and of course, Waukee Northwest had those two very good junior bigs this season who are just going to get better. I mean, you guys are going to have your work cut out for you, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's talent all over the league, you know. You go to these, the last couple of weekends, I've gone to the club tournaments in the area, and you go and you watch these guys, and a lot of them play on the same teams, too. It's impressive, the talent that we have in this area and in the CIML. But that's what's exciting about it. You know, you get to compete at the highest level and you get to compete against the best kids in the state. And I think that's the thrill of coaching in the CIML.
When your kids certainly showed last year, you know, even though it was a rough year, that, I mean, they didn't back down from anybody. I mean, they loved that challenge, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we're really excited about next year is what can we do as a team, you know? In this league, yes, there's talented individuals, but can you come out and play ultimate team ball? And that's kind of a part of what we want to try to get accomplished with our culture and stuff, is that we're going to come out and try to be the best unit that's connected. And if you come out and play team ball, you got a chance every night, you know? And, you know, so that's what we're going to be working for this summer. Yep.
Yeah, you had to be impressed with what Drake did this year with that whole new team. I mean,
that
was exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And, you know, you're playing for your teammates, you know, and playing for the next guy, and you get that ball moving, and, you know, you try to make the ball the most athletic player on the floor. It doesn't matter, you know, who you have, as long as you're playing as a unit, you've got a shot, so.
Well, you told me last week that you feel like the foundation of the program, you know, is still very strong, and that you talked about the talent with the younger kids, you know, coming up, and that you are excited about the future. And I'm sure you have some of your own personal coaching philosophies that, you know, maybe didn't always align with Coach Fontana 100% of the time. And now that you're the guy in charge, you know, maybe you can make a couple of changes. Is there anything specific that maybe people will notice that might be different?
There will be. You'll definitely notice a difference. I will say, though, that, you know, Bob has been so good to me and has given me so many amazing opportunities, and I learned so much from him. But yeah, I mean, anytime a new coach takes over, they're going to kind of spin it their own way and try to develop the culture the way they want to develop it. And then, yeah, the system, you know, there's going to be a lot of different things that we're going to try to do. But, you know, I'm very grateful to Bob and that everything that he's done for me is, you know, through the years.
Well, hey, Matt, congratulations again. Thanks a lot for coming in today, and I'll be talking to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty, Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. And I can attest that you can get in there fairly quickly. My wife called yesterday and she was able to get in for an appointment today. So you can give Revive a call if you need any of their services. Well, my other guest tonight is the new head girls basketball coach. He spent the last 2 years as the head coach at Des Moines Christian, where he guided the Lions to a 45-6 record and a pair of Class 3A state tournament appearances. He previously coached in the CIML at a few different places, including a year coaching under Scott DeYoung and another year with the Ankeny Boys program, where the Hawks won the Class 4A title in 2020. He's very familiar with Centennial because he's already employed there as a teacher. He is Chris Harkin. Chris, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Doing pretty well on this lovely day outside.
Oh, yeah. Could be worse.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, congratulations again on the new job. I know when I talked to you last week, you were very excited, but it's obviously time to get to work. I know one of your first priorities is to assemble a staff. You know, have you made any progress yet on that front?
Yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be a priority. So before we talk to any of the girls, and I was able to talk to a few of the returning coaches yesterday, and so got some good vibes and good comfort where they want to be and what they wanted to do to not just help the program, but also see themselves improve. So not just as a coach for players, but coach for other coaches and trying to get them in the positions that they can excel at.
Well, Nate Lindgren, I shared last week that you told him a couple of years ago that if and when the time came when Coach DeYoung stepped down, you had an interest in coaching at Centennial and were hoping to be considered for the position. You know, so this is obviously something that didn't happen overnight, right? I mean, you kind of had your eye on the position for a while?
Yeah, definitely did. And when I first started teaching at Centennial, I wasn't even thinking about coaching. Like, I was transferring in. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll take a year off. And then, fortunately, he had a JV 2 assistant position open. So I'm like, you know what? Coaching's coaching. And so got into it there, and eventually I knew I wanted to get back into the head coaching positions. And that year with him just kind of gave me a great experience, and even just getting more of a role model and just learning from who I would say is definitely a Hall of Fame coach in the future. So I knew in time, I didn't know if it was going to be a Centennial or not, but I knew in time that he was thinking about retiring. You know, when he and I talked, he said it could be 2 years, it could be 5 years, it could be 10. He didn't know at that time. So, and when the Des Moines Christian position opened up, it was an opportunity to get more of that head coaching experience as well. So, talking with Nate prior to, he kind of had that mindset. It's like when we had a conversation before leaving, he was asking, or I asked him, you know, when you look for a head coach to kind of take over after Scott resigns or retires, what are you looking for? Are you looking for someone who's in-house, or are you looking for someone who has more head coaching experience? And he was, I love Nate. He was very honest. And he's like, I would, if everything was perfectly balanced and if we had to choose between two candidates, we'd choose one who has more varsity head coaching experience. So that was one sign for me to be able to say, go into, okay, I want to go be a head coach somewhere else. And we're here today.
Well, yeah, you certainly had some success there, you know, at Des Moines Christian the last 2 years. I did catch your game against Ankeny this year and was impressed with the way that you guys played. Do you feel like the success that you had there can translate over to the CIML?
I think so. With the girls that are returning there and everything, I hope they have a great season coming up, and I think they have the talent to even go further. But it came down to the culture building, and going in that first year, even the seniors of that class didn't realize that, you know, we didn't believe that we were going to go to state. Yes, that's every girl's aspiration to make it to state every year, but they didn't really buy into that, and they were concerned with the new coaching staff coming in there too. And so I think we were able to build that culture right away, and the girls bought in, and you know, we were able to get to the semifinals that year and at state. So I think here is going to be that same situation where we are going to be young, we're going to be an experience, if you think as a CIML program, even though we have three girls returning here from varsity squad. But I feel like if we can get that buy-in and have that tenacity about ourselves, mm-hmm. I think we can potentially shock some teams.
Well, yeah, we talked about this last week, but obviously, you know, it had to be a challenge for you to commute over to DMC from Centennial every day, you know, for either a practice or a game. You know, you'd probably spend a few hours over there, but, you know, it's not the same as being in the same building with your players every day, all day, you know, like you'll be able to do now here at Centennial. You know, you just have a lot more time to get to know the players and to be accessible, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's going to help out with some of the concerns and some of the fallbacks that I had commuting to Des Moines Christian and here, those are not going to be issues this year, because I already had a few players talk to me this morning before school, and I didn't have that opportunity at Des Moines Christian. So that, but then also just being in the building, keeping eyes on them, if they need to talk or if I need to talk to them, calling them in during open or between passing periods and just kind of have those check-ins. It's just going to be very vital. And selfishly, it's like I get to go down the stairs now versus worrying about a 20-minute commute to get to the gym.
Well, you do have 6 years of head coaching experience overall, including 3 seasons at Ankeny Christian. And I was trying to look it up and find it on Bound, but I couldn't find it. But I assume that was on the girls' side, right?
It was on the girls' side, yeah.
What years would that have been?
That's going to test my skills here. I think it was around 13 to 15.
Oh, okay.
Around that time frame. So I can't remember exactly the first year there, but had some good experience there too. Like, kind of the same situation where we were rebuilding. They had a really good season, probably the best season in their school history. And then coming back next 2 seasons, really building it with a small crew. And then my last year there, at that moment, they had the best record ever. And I feel like we got upset to not get to state. But so we're able to build that culture and build up there too.
Well, they certainly have some of their programs going well now. Boy, that volleyball program is something else.
But I know, it's very remarkable, for sure.
Well, you do have experience coaching both the boys and girls. You previously coached at Johnstown on both the boys and girls staffs. And like I mentioned earlier, you did spend that year with Ankeny on their state championship run. So since you have coached both boys and girls, do you feel like you coach both of them the same way, or have you noticed some differences in the way that you coach them?
Absolutely not. There's different techniques, I would say. With the girls, they want to make sure that you care about them. And once you do that, they will be the hardest workers that you possibly could for them. And they trust you. And almost to their fault, they want to execute the plays to near perfection. And so that's some areas that, I always try to tell the girls where it's okay to make mistakes. Versus the guys, then it's quite the opposite. Like, they're not afraid to make mistakes. They're not afraid to challenge themselves. And sometimes you have to rein them in that case. So, both sides are really great. Just from my personality and my preference, the girls' side is better for me.
Well, I know Coach Delger told me last week, he had that year coaching the Ankeny girls as an interim coach. But I know he told me he just preferred the boys, but that's just his preference, I guess. So, well, and we talked about how you spent the year coaching under Scott DeYoung. And you did tell me last week that, you shared a lot of his coaching philosophies, with one of them being that you both heavily value defense. What other things did you learn from coaching under him?
It's just that tenacity. He would bring that intensity to practices every day. And, you can see he was very passionate, and I felt it led into the girls there too. And so just watching that, just going through a few, observing the simple stuff, the technique, the drills, and just the buy-in of defense and getting that mindset. And so I think I learned a lot from him. I could still learn more from him, definitely. And we've kind of been in contact a little bit already, just a little bit trying to get together. But I think, the stereotypical saying, defense wins championships. And with all the experience that I've had in the past, it's our defense has fueled our offense, the way I coach.
Well, getting girls to play that hard on defense, or getting any basketball player to play that hard on defense, is hard to do, because I know I played, and playing defense is not fun.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely something that you have to have that mindset for.
Well, you also told me that you plan to add in, some of your own ideas. So can you share anything specific that is a part of your philosophy that maybe people will notice right away?
Yeah, I'm hoping that both ends of the court, we transition better. Defensively, we're going to have some mindsets where we might pressure the ball a little bit to kind of speed up the other teams, not necessarily get steals, but just try to get them out of their rhythm. But then also protecting the basket at the same time, so finding that perfect balance there. Offensively, we want to try to get the ball out of the net as soon as possible and push it up to the sideline and see what we can create out of that.
Well, maybe the biggest challenge we'll face next season, that this will probably be the most inexperienced Centennial team ever. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars advanced to state last year for the 5th consecutive season and finished with a 17-8 record. But there were 9 seniors on that team, and they will all be departing, including a pair of All-Staters in Maya Crawford and Jaden Pratt. So you're pretty much going to be starting from scratch, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. And that's probably a good thing, too, with the new coach coming in. It's, whether you think about it or not, it's not so much the expectations. It's everybody, not just the coaches, but the players get to start fresh. And so, whether that's good or bad, we'll find out. But I just think it's a good opportunity for all of us to grow.
Well, you do have a few key pieces to build around. Lizzie Beam averaged about 4 points a game as a junior. Mae Smith, or I guess as a sophomore, Mae Smith averaged 2.5 points as a junior. You know, and they both shot nearly 40% from three-point range. Another junior, Rylan Boating, also saw quite a bit of action. And she had a couple of big baskets in the Jaguars' quarterfinal win over Pleasant Valley at the state tournament. You know, so that does give you at least a little bit of a nucleus to build around.
Yeah, definitely. And all of them are really good shooters. And so if we can find the key pieces that go around those three, you know, maybe get them clear, because obviously other teams, that's they're going to be their scouting report, knowing that those three girls are coming in. So if we can find some of those key role pieces that can fill the gaps a little bit more and maybe take a little bit of pressure off those three, they can pretty shine and be good leaders for us.
When Scott told me at the end of last season, you know, this is before he had made his announcement, I asked him about next year because he was going to be losing all these kids. And he mentioned that there was a good eighth grade class coming up. So I'm sure you feel like, you know, there might be some, even some incoming freshmen that could contribute.
Yeah. Talking with a few of the returning coaches, that's their same MO that said. So I'm really excited about the current freshman class, but also the eighth grade class coming up as well. I've heard really good things about them.
Well, unfortunately, the CIML is just a gauntlet, and I'm sure you know that's going to be the case again next year. Johnston has won four of the last six state titles, and the Dragons, you know, they aren't going anywhere with the talent that they have. Dowling is going to have one of the state's top players back, and Ellie Muller, you know, and Waukee Northwest had a good young team coming back, you know, too. So you guys got your work cut out for you, don't you?
Oh, we definitely do, and it's going to be that gauntlet where, you know, even CIML in general, it's going to be a state qualifying game every night, and so we're going to bring our A game every night, and, you know, feel like optimistically we can be middle of the ground, top part of the CIML if all the cards fall right for us.
Well, hey, congratulations again on the new job, and you know, good luck next season. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds: the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa. Local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We have the new Centennial basketball coaches, Matt Delger and Chris Harkin. I appreciate the time from both of those gentlemen. And I'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.